live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. This is the program where there are no guests, where you have a chance through the entire hour to call in and ask your question, make a statement, share your thoughts. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm going to give you some of the latest on health and nutrition. And because I have so many commentaries and so many particularly interesting points, I'm going to share a few of those on today's program and give you something to think about. I have a full slate for the 15 hours each week, and I always try to deal with issues that the mainstream media is not dealing with or not dealing objectively or intelligently with. So that's where we're at. And I already see we have Cheryl from West Nyack, New York on, and we have Dennis from Queens on. So I will deal with both of those questions, whatever they have, but first let's go to the latest in health and healing. Popular food additive can cause stomach aches, and it's called a stealth fiber, and a lot of cereals, muffins, breads are using this. And it's not a problem for most people, but it can cause gastrointestinal discomfort for some, and you're not even aware of what's causing it because you didn't see that it was a stealth fiber. It's called inulin, I-N-U-L-I-N. Now, normal fiber foods like wheat or legumes or walnuts are self-limiting. It's hard to eat too much of them. But inulin may be in chocolate bars or drinks and snacks around the house, and before you know it, you may eat more than you can tolerate and have gastrointestinal issues you wouldn't otherwise know to associate it. Inulin is a carbohydrate fiber that occurs naturally in many foods like bananas, wheat, and onions, and garlic, and is found in high concentrations in chicory root, and it can be extracted for industrial use. Unlike more familiar carbohydrates, which are broken down in the small intestine and turned into fuel for the body, inulin passes through the small intestine to the colon, where it stimulates the growth of good bacteria and is fermented by bacteria. In some people, it can cause gas, bloating, flatulence, and diarrhea. So just be aware that if you've been having gastrointestinal disturbances and you're not sure why, just check the labels and see, is there a stealth fiber or inulin in there? You thought it was rough to turn on television without seeing an ad for some form of pharmaceutical drug that you should take. Well, now the big emphasis is healthy people are being encouraged to take antipsychotic medications so that you won't get psychotic, or take cholesterol-lowering medication even if you don't have high cholesterol. It's gotten that bad, and there's just so few public citizens, the group out in Washington, but you could name them on one hand, how many people are out there challenging the advertisement on television. And of course, the TV networks are not challenging any of it. Here's the latest. Pfizer said the European Commission approved a new chewable form of Lipitor, cholesterol-lowering medicine for children. Pfizer will apply for additional 6 months of patent protection available under European Union regulations as an incentive to develop treatments for children. Well, did I miss something? Do we have an epidemic of elevated cholesterol in children? No. Should children be taking Lipitor? No. Children shouldn't be taking any medication unless it's specifically shown that no other therapy would assist them and that the therapy that they would get is both safe and effective. Not the case with Lipitor, so I'm against that. Last week, I suggested on two separate programs that vitamin E is extremely beneficial for intermittent claudication. So if you have pains in the calves upon walking, you should always take 800 units of vitamin E from mixed tocopherols and 200 units from tocotrienols if you're going to get on an airplane. Why? Because when you're on an airplane, you do not have the same blood flow, and because of cabin pressure, a lot of people end up with varicosities, and also you can end up with a clot. So Vitamin E can help cut that. And that's just advice I give to everybody. But now there's new research showing that vitamin E cuts Alzheimer's risk. Quote, a Swedish study has revealed that high levels of several vitamin E components in the blood are associated with a decreased risk for Alzheimer's disease in advanced age. And this was a major study published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, a peer-reviewed journal. So, good. Vitamin E for Alzheimer's. Now, of course, if it helps Alzheimer's, that means it helps multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, dementia, memory loss. All right, so take it for those. If you will take 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams a day of the omega-3 fatty acids, and you're a woman, you could cut your risk of breast cancer by one-third. That's according to a major study in the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention. The study involved 35,000 women who took fish oil for 6 years. And the fish oil contains high levels of the good DHA and fatty acids that reduce inflammation. And previous studies have shown that fish oil can boost brain cells, keep your eyes healthy, and protect you against aging. This is from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, and very important. For those of you who want to be more alert throughout the day, don't want to have that sagging energy feeling in mid-morning, mid-afternoon, don't drink coffee. That's bad for you. Drink water. Here's the latest on this, and I thought this was interesting. This is from the journal Hypertension. Quote, water doesn't just quench thirst. It can keep you alert and regulate your blood pressure. And this is from Vanderbilt University Medical School. So water is very important for the nervous system. It raises alertness and increases energy expenditure. So make sure that you're drinking your water throughout the day, not all at once. And by the way, juices count as water, but coffee does not, nor does soda, because caffeine acts as a diuretic and actually removes water from the system. And if you have a simple headache, a tension headache, massage works. From the University of Granada, they found that by giving a massage as little as 15 minutes at the back of the neck and gently up over the head, you can relieve the headache for up to 24 hours. Better than many of the pain-relieving medications people take. And it was published in the American Journal of Manipulative Physiology and Therapeutics. And finally, pecans provide neurological protection and could help fight ALS. And this is from Natural News. It says, quote, in fact, a handful of pecans each day can protect your nervous system. Consuming these nuts could have a, quote, powerful impact on delaying the progression of serious, even fatal motor neuron degeneration, including amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, which tragically affects famed scientist Stephen Hawking. So that's good news. And the Center for Cellular Neurobiology at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell did this study. So, pecans. Now, we know about walnuts helping reduce the incidence of heart disease. We know about cancer, having nutrients that can help prevent cancer. Almonds preventing cancer, I should say. We know that macadamia nuts are very good for the energy levels in the body, as well as it's the best oil to cook with, macadamia nut oil, along with coconut oil. So now, and pistachios are great also for the heart. So now we have pecans are good for the central nervous system. A lot of people say, what is the best way to detoxify the body? Well, there are many ways, but chelation therapy is certainly one of them, because you want to get the heavy metals out, because heavy metals interfere with enzyme systems and hormones, and they play havoc with the central nervous system, and they create free radicals. But a lot of people can't afford chelation therapy, or they might live in a part of the country where no one's doing chelation. Plan B. This is from a major study. And I've always suggested that the more green powders, concentrated vegetable juice, the better able you are to naturally chelate out. And I find using 3 or 4 tablespoons a day of a powdered vegetable mix does a magnificent job at heavy metal chelation, and it acts as a detox. Here is the latest on this. Fruit pectin is effective for removing contaminants from the body, such as heavy metals and unwanted drug residue. When these substances deposit in the body cell, they contribute to a variety of serious diseases. Detoxifying the body from heavy metals and contaminants optimizes health and allows the body to repair itself. Using fruit pectin for home detox programs can successfully be used. And who is a good candidate? Anyone who has high levels of mercury from dental fillings and vaccines, contaminated water, cadmium from cigarette smoke and exhaust fumes, lead that's been used in food and water pipes, pesticides, and prescription medications that can also get into your system. Chemotherapy agents in particular are bad. Now, pectin is a substance found naturally in many fruits. And one of the best fruits, of course, would be apple pectin, but also blueberry pectin. And then you could mix the two together and have apple and blueberry. And where do you get it in the apple? In the rinds. In the blueberry? In the skin. You can also get it from cabbage and beets and grapes, all of which are in the citrus family as far as fruits, and that's all good for you. I'm Gary Knoll. Those are the latest on health and nutrition update information. Your call's coming up in a moment. I have a couple commentaries to give. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome all of you, and you can watch tonight's show by going to progressiveradionetwork.com or GaryKnoll.com. I'm streaming live from our studio in New York, just back yesterday filming down in Florida. Got some outstanding footage for several films. It's fun to go upstairs. I'm upstairs 15 times a day. We have six teams of editors and producers working on all the films I'm doing. And we've had a lot of people watch the Gulf War Veterans film. Tomorrow I'm putting a new one up and a new article up. And then Wednesday, another one. And we'll bring you up to date on our efforts to make Congress aware of what they have neglected. So we have a lot of good stuff happening. We have a lot of feature films we're working on. I'll let you know when they're ready. The Killing Fields of Multinational Corporations by Vandana Shiva from Common Dreams. And I'll quote this. This is a short commentary, but one that I think is important. Because if you don't know about things, you can't act upon it. So being informed is the first step in empowering yourself to do something positive. The Bhopal gas tragedy was the worst industrial disaster in human history. 25,000 people died, 500,000 were injured, and the injustice done to the victims of Bhopal over the past 25 years will go down as the worst case of jurisprudence ever. The gas leak in Bhopal in December 1984 was from the Union Carbide pesticide plant, which manufactured 7, which is a pesticide used mostly in cotton plants. It was, in fact, because the Bhopal gas tragedy and the tragedy of extremist violence in Punjab that I woke up to the fact that agriculture had become a war zone. Pesticides are war chemicals that kill, every year, 220,000 people are killed by pesticides worldwide. After research, I realized that we do not need toxic pesticides to kill humans and other species which maintain the web of life. Pesticides do not control pests. They create pests by killing beneficial species. We have safer, non-violent alternatives such as neem. That is why, at the time of the Bhopal disaster, I started the campaign, No More Bhopals, Plant a Neem, N-E-E-M. The Neem campaign led to challenging the biopiracy of neem in 1994 when I found that a U.S. multinational, W.R. Grace, had patented neem for use as pesticide and fungicide and was setting up a neem oil extraction plant in Tumkur. We fought the biopiracy case for 11 years and were eventually successful in striking down the biopiracy patent. Meanwhile, the old pesticide industry was mutating into the biotechnology and genetic engineering industry. And while genetic engineering was promoted as an alternative to pesticides, BT cotton was introduced to end pesticide use. But BT cotton has failed to control the bollworm and instead created major new pests, leading to an increase in pesticide use. The high cost of genetically modified seeds and pesticides are pushing farmers into debt, and indebted farmers are committing suicide. If one adds the 200,000 farmer suicides in India to the 25,000 killed in Bhopal, we're witnessing a massive corporate genocide, the killing of people for super profits. To maintain these super profits, lies are told about how, without pesticides and genetically modified organisms, GMOs, there'll be no food. In fact, the conclusions of International Assessment of Agriculture, Science, Technology for Development, undertaken by the United Nations, shows that ecologically organic agriculture produces more food and better food at lower cost than either chemical agriculture or GMOs. The agrochemical industry and its new avatar, the biotechnology industry, do not merely distort and manipulate knowledge, science, and public policy. They also manipulate the law and the justice system. The reason justice has been denied to the victims of Bhopal is because corporations want to escape liability. Freedom from liability is, in fact, the real meaning of free trade. The tragedy of Bhopal is dual. Interesting, the Bhopal disaster happened precisely when corporations were seeking deregulation and freedom from liability through the instruments of free trade. Trade liberalization and globalization, both through bilateral pressure and through the Uruguay Round of General Agreement on Tariffs, or GATT, which led to the creation of the World Trade Organization. Justice for Bhopal has been used to tell corporations that they can get away with murder. This is what senior politicians communicated to Dow Chemical. This is what the U.S.-India Commission for Environmental Cooperation Forum stated on June 11, 2010, in the context of the call from across India for justice for Bhopal victims. As one newspaper commented, Bhopal is being seen as a roadblock and impediment to trade. The recommendations included removing all roadblocks to commercial trade by India, an adaption of a nuclear liability regime. Denial of justice to Bhopal has been the basis of all toxic investments since Bhopal, be it BT cotton, DuPont's nylon plant, or the civil nuclear liability bill. Just as Bhopal victims were paid a mere $250 each. That's it, $250. The proposed nuclear liability bill also seeks to put a ceiling on liability of a mere $100 million on private operations of a nuclear power plant in case of a nuclear accident. Once again, people can be killed by the millions, but the corporation should not have to pay. There has also been an intense debate in India on GMOs. An attempt was made by Monsanto to introduce BT Brinjal in 2009. As a result of public hearings across the country, a moratorium has been put on its commercialization. Immediately after the moratorium, a bill was introduced for Biotechnology Regulatory Authority of India. The bill does not only leave the biotechnology industry free of liability, but it also has a clause which empowers the government to arrest and fine those who question the need for safety. Let me state this again. India is so corrupt. The government is so totally corrupt. You think you were in Mexico. So, and I didn't think there's a worse place in the world to be than in Mexico. I mean, Jesus, that's bad. I mean, everything in Mexico is corrupt. But if you protest in a letter, if you get up and debate the issue, you can be arrested once this law goes into effect. That's how much power they have to pay off the politicians. Well, that's redundant in India or any place else, including here in the United States. It's just I'm thinking they're paying more for politicians in the United States than do in India. Corporations seek to globalize production, but they do not want to globalize justice and rights. The difference in the treatment of Union Carbide and Dow Chemical in the context of Bhopal and of Bhopal in the context of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico shows how an apartheid is being created. The devaluation of life of people, of the third world, and ecosystem is built upon the project of globalization. Globalization is leading to the outsourcing of pollution, hazardous substances, and technologies to the third world. This is the heart of globalization, the economy of genocide. Lawrence Summers, who was the World Bank's chief economist and is now chief economic advisor to the Obama government, in a memo dated December 12, 1991, to senior World Bank staff, wrote, quote, "Just between you and me, shouldn't the World Bank be encouraging more migration of the dirty industries to the less developed countries?" Unquote. Since wages are low in the third world, economic cost of pollution arises from increased illnesses and deaths, at least in the poorest countries. According to Mr. Summer, quote, "The logic of relocation of pollutants to the lowest wage countries is impeccable, and we should face up to that now." All this in Bhopal must teach us to reclaim our universal and common humanity and build an earth democracy in which all are equal. Except Larry Summers. Now, clearly this man made racist statements. Clearly this man devalues life. Clearly this man is the most powerful person in the White House. Because do you ever see him? No. But everything Obama says, he creates. He is the economic avatar behind the president. And this is a man with a really bad reputation. Oh, did we forget? When he was president of Harvard, he was one who didn't think that women were as capable of men. When and what? It was science and math. And he was one of the people who gave us the shock therapy for Russia that caused hundreds of millions of Russians to live in dire poverty, abject poverty, while the ones that were willing to do dirty business with foreign countries got the inside track. And now are, well, all of these guys, all of the oligarchs in Russia are all corrupt. I'm Gary Noll. Those are our comments. Now let's go over and say hello to Kenny. And Kenny's there from Edison, New Jersey. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Gary. How are you today?
Good.
Okay, well, I'm calling to give an update on everything that's going on with me. There's a lot of really good things going on. Well, first I wanted to say that there's a lot of things I've been able to do in my life in the past 2.5 years, from watching all of your videos and speaking with all of your associates and everything else. Then I've been able to do some really good things, like, first and foremost, reverse multiple sclerosis. I mean, how much bigger do you get than that? But also, from your law of attraction and law of purity, law of manifestation, and all that other stuff, soon I'll be starting a new job that does not require me to wear a respirator to protect myself from any toxins from entering my body. And that's a good thing. It's a completely non-toxic environment. And that's something I've been envisioning. Now, another thing is that that we learn a lot from you is ways to kind of get past our ego. And one method that I've been employing for myself, I'm not sure how well it'd work for anybody else, but for me it's been working pretty well, is I sort of first really paid attention to what thoughts I was entertaining and what feelings would come along with them, and just trying to really know the language that when I'm thinking from my egoic mind, you know, what thoughts come from there. So whenever I would have a thought that would come from there, I would sort of imagine that thought coming from another person, and in my head I would just say, shut up. And then for some reason I wouldn't even have the thought anymore. I wouldn't have the feeling associated with it. And the strange byproduct of that is I wind up with this new sense of curiosity, you know, like from when I was a little kid. And for some reason, I don't know why it has anything to do with it, but I sleep less. I wake up at 5 and 5:30, no problem. I go outside, I water my plants, and it's just a new refreshing way of being. But because of this curiosity, and I keep on looking for other things that I could exchange a negative for a new positive on every level of myself, the latest place that I'm seeing that I'm not sure if I'd be able to employ the same method for this issue, or I can, and perhaps you might have another suggestion to go along with it. I'm the type of personality that when I have money in my pocket, if I don't spend it, somehow it burns a hole. Somehow. And I was really thinking of using the same method that I've been using for my ego for that dysfunction as well. Do you think that's a good approach for that, or do you have anything else to add to that sort of personality flaw?
Why do you assume it's a flaw?
Well, I assume it's a flaw because, see, when I have money in my pocket, it's not like I go out and I waste money on things that I don't need. I'm always buying money. I'm always spending money on things on, say, you know, food for my family, you know, necessities that we need for the house, other things like that. I go out shopping right away. It's usually food shopping and that sort of stuff, and, you know, buying all my vitamins and stuff. I seem to have a hard time saving money, is the point.
Okay, that in itself is not a flaw.
Okay.
Look what happens if you start off by assuming that you have a dysfunction. Then
okay.
every choice you're making from the dark side of your being. You're making from a conditioned response. Whereas all of us make choices. Every single thing we do in a day, whether we go for a walk or don't, whether we exercise or don't, to what degree we exercise or not.
Mm-hmm.
I had someone wrote me a letter from Florida, from South Beach, and a very bright person, and who doesn't always act bright, but clearly has a good mind, but is limited by the people and environment she is exposed to. But instead of seeking a different environment, she's adapted the people around her, which means then she takes on their energy. So if they happen to be negative, she becomes negative. That starts at home with parents. If you have a dominant mother, a dominant father, or both dominant, if you have parents who are too passive and are uncertain, who equivocate on everything, every time you need some real insightful understanding of a situation in your life, they're not there to really give it to you, then you think, all right, how do I deal with this? Or they give you information that is from their own background, and sometimes people, more often than not, people pass on their own fears, their own hesitancies, their own insecurities. So then you think the appropriate way to deal with other people is start off by saying, okay, I can't let this person know I'm insecure or fearful, so I will cover that up. I'll disguise that. I'll put a pretty face on this. But in the end, that's what I'm really motivating for. I'm trying to get my handle on how to communicate with someone when I just don't know how to be straight and to the point. So one day you wake up and you realize you're not really communicating with people in an honest, straightforward manner. You're not getting what you need, and therefore you start to sublimate. Nothing is ever a straight course. Nothing is ever from point A to point B. Nothing is ever yes, no. Nothing is ever, it's always let me think about it, I'm uncertain. It's like this. What would you feel, Kenny, if you called someone and say, hey, what are you doing Friday night? Oh, I'm not sure. Let me get back to you.
Well, right away I would say, well, okay, that person really doesn't want to get together or hang out.
That's correct, because what they're going to do, they're going to look if there's anyone else they can be with that's more interesting than you, and if not, then they'll get back to you. But that means that you really have no relevance to them. You're plan C. So,
right.
So now put this in context. You first have to define the myths of your own existence. And we have, most of our life is based upon myths. Most of it.
Right, like you were saying at the other day at your lecture.
Well, what did you think of the lecture?
Well, I thought it was on point. I loved it. There's a lot that really spoke to me, and that really just made me think, okay, well, how could I make myself better in as many ways as possible?
Well, it was a deeper lecture than most people are used to, because I started with, my very first statement was, what are the myths of your life? What's the myth in your story?
Yeah, you touched a lot of ground.
And but the first hour of the lecture, it was 2 hours long, was all about the myths. Because if you can't get by your myths, I'm going to ask my engineer, please bring down my. I'm getting some feedback here. Thanks. Okay, it was popping on me. In any case, if we can't get by the myths of our story, then all we have to share with people is a flawed or distorted story. Now, I don't care what kind of relationship you have, it's going to be flawed. Let me give you an example. The other day, I chose, while riding to a film shoot, to listen to the Fox Network, and I heard Hannity and this real screamer, this Mark Levine. I heard Glenn Beck. I heard Rush Limbaugh. And when you come away, you feel the energy. It's palpably negative. It's toxic. It's not joyful. It's not empowering. There's no great revelation. You don't go, wow, or one of those ooh-all moments. And yet what we need in all of our communication is to be empowered by it. The whole purpose of elders sitting with those who are not, to counsel them in their problems, was so that when you left that meeting, you felt empowered, something you could build around and with. What can you build with what you hear every day, over and over again? You know that on Chris Wallace's show, and I think he tries to be objective, I don't fault him, but you'll have people like Billy Crystal. There's not an objective bone in his body. Everything he's going to say, in that smirky little way of his, is putting down anything is liberal. Ann Coulter should have been in The Wizard of Oz, you know, the witch that the girl's toe,
right.
You know, because she just acts deplorable. And I don't think she realizes what kind of caricature she is. She's not an intellect. She's not a deep person. I sent her a 15-page letter once, about a year and a half ago, after a book on Godless Liberals came out.
Uh-huh.
And I quoted, and she calls herself, you know, a believer. So I quoted all the scripture verbatim, showing that God was a progressive. He was a humanist. He was a progressive. Not God, excuse me, Jesus. Jesus was a progressive. So her entire religious belief is based upon the principles of Jesus, and it's by saying that liberals are godless. Jesus is a liberal by everything that defines what a liberal is, and a progressive within that. So, but anyone with a real intellect would have taken the time and depth to have studied something before they went off and wrote a stupid book about it. But the people who are the true believers, who never question anything, they simply accept whatever is given to them as the truth, these are the most dangerous people. So the danger is not Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or, you know, the absurdities of Glenn Beck, which are many. It's their audience that's the danger. Because if you have that many people who are not willing to think critically, but rather to look for new red meat to chew on each day, if you put all these people in a room and you put in the liberals at the same time, it would be like opening a door of Night of the Living Dead and throw a bunch of live people in. These people feast off dead issues. There's nothing vital. There's no vitalism in what they deal with. For example, the commentary I gave tonight about Bhopal and globalization, I mentioned, and this is from Professor Shiva. Have you heard that mentioned on any other program, left or right?
Nope.
No, and you won't. Because it assumes that the audience has a grasp of the issues, that globalization is really just another term for exploitation of the poor without consequence. Now, isn't it interesting that now we, the United States is being treated as a third world nation when it comes to the British Petroleum cleanup mess. A, we've been lied to repeatedly because we haven't been given any access to the Gulf floor around there as if the Gulf floor in international waters is owned by anyone. No, that's free. Any human being has the right under international treaty to go to any of those locations, and yet they risk being arrested. That's fascism. That's a police state. So geologists and others who would like to see, are there other fissures? Are there other cracks where the gas, methane gas and oil are leaking out? The answer is yes, and we were the first to report that, and that's why the cap doesn't work. But no, they want to put a lipstick on this pig, and it didn't work. But it worked because the mainstream media weren't willing to challenge them. So whatever the corrupt administration said, they parroted without thinking. Isn't this the same administration that has lied repeatedly about every single issue? And the answer is yes. So if you already have a group of true believers on the left not willing to criticize the New York Times or others, and on the right not willing to criticize the conservatives and Republicans, then where does that leave most people to try to get the truth on any issue? Well, you don't. And as a result, British Petroleum worked with Tony Blair, the former prime minister, and with also with the top prosecutor in Blair's administration to get the Lockerbie terrorist, the man who was responsible for 240 people dying, sent back to Libya. Now, why did they do that? Because they needed to get oil drilling rights in Libya. And that's what Omar Gaddafi made as a plan. You give us back this man, and you can figure out how to do it. Well, he's dying. So say he's dying, it's humanitarian. And we'll allow you in the country. That's the trade-off. Sooner or later, that will come out. I promise you that. And Tony Blair, Tony Blair is Bill Clinton. They're one and the same. Then you'll start to see how the people, the relatives of the victims were played, how the British people and the Scottish people were played. But they've gotten so used to having no downside, no consequence, no go to jail because you're a bad person. And just Obama just said to the Justice Department, don't prosecute anybody for all those U.S. attorneys being fired by the Bush White House and Karl Rove. So once again, seeking no effort to investigate for crimes against humanity, for who started that war, how they started it, and the knowledge they had that there was no weapons of mass destruction. So all that now is a moot point. So it doesn't matter what crime anyone commits, no one's going to be punished for it, unless, of course, you commit a crime. And then, Kenny, watch how quickly they taser you, zap you, and put you away. But if they do it, no consequences. This is the world we live in today, where the myth is we care. We're caring people. Really? Okay, if we're caring, who cares for the 12.7 million hungry children each day in the United States? Who cares for the 40 million Americans on using food stamps because they can't afford? Who's caring for the 1.5 million people thrown out of their house in the last 12 months?
Who cares for the troops?
Who cares for the troops who are coming back sick with post-traumatic stress disorder, Gulf War syndrome, who are suicidal and violent and end up drug addicts or alcoholics or homeless, 800,000 on the streets? Who cares about the major Wall Street firms having no regulations whatsoever that will impact their making profits and trading in derivatives and default credit default swaps? Who cares about doing an investigation to see that it was George Soros and others who were shorting currencies? Many people now that I know believe that the currency in Greece was shorted in anticipation of lowering the viability of their bonds, which caused a gigantic crash. But a lot of people profited off of it, especially if they shorted it. The euro. Who cares? And the euro went way down, and that means a lot of people who shorted made billions. Who cares about the fact that all we talk about is global warming and have not done one single thing to address it? Who cares about acid rain? Oh, you forgot that was important? About all the toxins in our water. Over 1,000 different toxins, medication in our water. Who cares? Well, I thought we were a caring nation. Who cares about going down and looking at 60,000 people still victims of Hurricane Katrina, where the government gave its sweetheart contracts of $40 billion, and there is nothing down there to show for it? Who cares about addressing the false television ads that cause people to believe that a product they or their children would take are necessary or good, and when in fact they're neither necessary and dangerous? Who cares about politicians that get Supreme Court justices like Roberts and the rest in positions where they allow the full total destruction, usurping of the judicial or the election system by allowing corporations now to buy politicians? Who cares about total bias in the media, left and right? Who cares about becoming a police state? Who cares about the Patriot Act? Who cares about the FISA bill? Who cares about warmongering? Who cares about militarization all over the world? Who cares about governments that are out of control, state, local, and federal, with massive amounts of redundancy and useless work that does not benefit the taxpayers? And at the moment you say you want to address these issues, you're considered a loon. I want to find the 15 Americans that are not living through myth, their stories. I want to find those academics who can actually step out of the myth that they're smarter than the rest of the people and therefore don't have to live in the real world, where real solutions come from being in the real world. Yesterday I was down at the farmer's market, and I went by the stand where I normally buy my mushrooms. And there's a nice selection of mushrooms, oyster mushrooms, and shiitake, and there's no sprays used on them. And I was listening to the woman ahead of me talk about how's it upstate, and this woman says, "Oh," she said, "it's bone dry. We're in the worst drought imaginable. We only had yesterday rain, and we haven't had a drop of rain since March. Everything is brown and burnt." And she said, "It's so bad that I have to do a load of laundry in the morning, but we can't take showers until evening because our well is running dry." And she said, "My husband put a horse trough underneath the roof, so when there is any precipitation or rain, we collect it there, and that's what we water our vegetables and plants with." And she's got a 700-acre farm that nothing can grow on it except some hay, and hay can't grow if you don't have water. It's a mess. So I went over and I said, "I wasn't aware that upstate where you're living has been in a drought area." And she said, "Yes, it has." And she said, "But it's just one of many problems." And I said, "What are the other problems?" And she said, "Well," she said, "you sure you want to hear this?" I said, "I'm happy to hear it." She said, "Well, you don't have the problems, water problems where you live." And I said, "How do you know where I live?" She said, "Aren't you Gary Noll?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I've heard your show. I know you live down in Florida." And she said, "My husband's on the school board. The average wage of the people in our county is $30,000 a year. That's the average earned income. We have school teachers that are making $100,000 plus, and they want a raise, and they've been getting 4% per year." And she said, "My husband was the one who said no. And then they attack him. And yet the people who are not affiliated with the government see how the government interferes in our lives and how the unions up here, especially the teachers union, has not had to make the sacrifices that all the rest of us have." And then she said that she's sick of doing business in New York State after all the years. And I said, "How long have you been up there?" She said, "The farm has been in my husband's family for 4 generations. I said, "That's 100 years. She said, "Yes." She says, "But now we're looking for another place to move because we can't stand New York politics and local stupid people, especially people from New York City who come up here. They think they know anything. They're idiots. And then they start telling you can't do this, you can't do that." And she gave me examples that were really absurd. And they want to micromanage everyone's lives. All kinds of rules and regulations. Ones you couldn't possibly know about, but if they find you're doing something they don't like, they can cause you hassles and fine you and everything else. And she said, "It's just not worth it." She said, dealing with local government that is so inept and so corrupt and so indifferent and so bureaucratic. And she said, I come from the left. I'm very liberal. And until I came up here and had to deal with this, I had no idea. She said, I've just had enough. She says, we're going someplace where we just don't have this. And I suggested there's only one state, that, well, there's actually two where you can live year-round. There's Texas that has the least interference in a person's life, lowest taxes, and homesteading. And I said, and you have Vermont, which is very progressive, and a lot of progressive people, but it's really bad weather half the year. And she said, well, we're having bad weather now, and things aren't growing. Mushrooms, of course, grow in the dark, so that's not a problem. But listen to some of the people talk who are actually experiencing what it's like to interface with indifference and corruption, ineptitude, inefficiency. But that picture is never shown. You either have, we need big bureaucracies, give more money to these agencies and it'll trickle down through the agencies. It never does. Or give more money to the wealthy people and it will trickle down. It never does.
They hold on to it.
Both are wrong. And tomorrow I'm going to write and put up on my website a 30-point plan to recover the entire economy, overcome all unemployment, 100% employment, lower our taxes by 40% across the board. But it means being honest about the myths by which we live. Democrats refuse to live by anything but myths. Republicans refuse. So all these people are living with myths. Everyone's living with their own myths. And as long as you're living with your myths, how are you ever going to learn the truth or share the truth with someone else? You have to be completely independent, which means to be independent, you first have to come to some reality that doing more of what you've done, believing more in what you've believed in, is not going to give the outcome that's any different or what you want. And here's where I go back to the woman in Florida. She said that, you know, she, now that she's a certain age in her late 40s, that she's gaining weight and she exercises. That's a myth. Exercise to the level of discomfort. She's smart enough to know that you have to exercise more vigorously, more sustained. That means power biking. That means versa-climbing. That means jogging. And that means getting off your dead ass and moving it. Well, that's a reality, but not when you're living with a myth. Only do things until you don't like to or until you feel uncomfortable, then you stop. Read until you don't want to read anymore because you're bored, then you stop. That's why we have a nation today that by living through their myth, they're fat. They become very stupid. They're not this wonderful, great, loving nation. I can show you a million examples. We're still racist. We're still bigoted. We're still limited. And a whole new generation has grown up, I call Generation Zero, that is disconnected from everything except their own little myopic world of make me feel better. And whatever's going to make me feel better, and don't ask me a whole lot, and don't ask me to be responsible, then I'll do okay. There are certainly exceptions in all areas, but that's a general rule, and that's why we're in the mess we're in today. It wasn't just a few indifferent individuals that caused the largest pollution mess in our country's history. In the Great Pacific, the plastic mess, toxic dumps, over-commercialization, overusing things, no sense of energy efficiency, 25% of all the energy use in the world, even though we're only now down to about 3% of the world's population, and yet we have no savings. You get the average person out of work for 1 week, they're bankrupt. And still, the malls are full. Still, people are calling and going to Sam's Club, which nobody should be shopping in a Sam's Club or Walmart to begin with, because it's part of globalization. Offsource the jobs that you once had in America, and then bring back cheap items that you go and buy. That's just foolish. But that's part of the myth. So understand something. any part of the myth that you cannot understand or come to grips with, you still use. And that becomes your story. And then when something happens, it's just like there was a thing on CNN last evening, and it showed a couple rebuilding down in Louisiana near New Orleans, right on the ocean. Why are you going to build? This whole town was wiped out. Well, because someone has to start over. Yeah, and you're going to start over, what, for the next category 3, 4, 5 is going to wipe you out again? And yet this mindset that somehow they're going to prove something by, we're going to rebuild. Yeah, we were right here in the timberland in California, and, you know, it was, but we're going to rebuild after the fire, and we're going to be rebuilt after the hurricane. We're going to be rebuilding after, because we're tough. No, you're stupid. There's a difference. And you're not learning the lessons of your own myth. And we just, yeah, we're going to go kill all the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and we'll win the war on terror. Just ask Billy Crystal and Wolfowitz and all the other neocons and all the liberals that are paying for it. And Democrats, look at all the Democrats. Where did all these hypocritical mythological organizations like MoveOn.org, weren't they anti-war at one time? Yes, when it was Bush's war. But now it's Obama's war, and they're pro-war. You don't see them out there campaigning against any of the Democrats that are funding the bill, do you? This is the hypocrisy of living by myth. You want to lose weight? Then get out of the myth that it's going to be easy, or you're only going to do it till you feel uncomfortable. Hope that answers your question, Kenny. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Let's say hello now to Dennis from Queens. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Gary. Could you talk about places to live?
Sure can. Where do you live? Or where do you want to live? Dennis, did he hang up? Okay, must want to hear the answer off air. Well, Dennis, I wish you to stay on because there are things I have to ask you. For example, where do you want to live if you had your choice? Do you want to be in a colder climate, a desert climate, a warmer climate, by the coast? Do you have a family? Are you young, middle-aged, older? Are you a woman, a man, a couple, a young couple, an older couple? Are you an artist? Do you have children? How many? What age? What kind of schooling do you want? Are you employed? Are you employable? All these are important questions, because each one of those questions will determine the best places to live. Now, there was recently, just in the last 2 weeks, there was a report out that best 100 cities. I wouldn't select any of those cities. Not one. Because none of those cities took into account, is it sustainable? Many were in very hot climates. Well, is there water there? The answer is, there's not enough to sustain the multiple uses of municipalities and agriculture and industry and consumer use. So you're going to have water rationing, which you already do in many places. And then beyond that, is do you have quality soil? Are you going to be in a perpetual heat zone? Now, we just are going through a heat wave right now, but imagine people who are going to be in a heat wave all the time. What good is it if you're going to be in a heaty place, hot place, and then every day you have to be using the air conditioner? Then that's going against living in a natural and a sustainable environment. These are important things. Then you want to be around people that you feel good being around. Well, what if you're an adaptive, supportive Italian American? You're going to be wanting to be around other people, so that would be different than if you're an artist and you're looking for more creative and challenging people. If you're dynamic, you want to be in an environment where you have some control over that environment. They like to see that their environments are organized. So I need more information from you. Once I have that, then I can give you some direction. But right now, the primary criteria, the best places to live, are good schools, low unemployment, maybe around 5% is considered a great place, just on that. Low taxes and moderate prices of homes. Well, gee whiz, you know, there are a whole lot more things to think about. I mean, quality of life. What about the quality of an aesthetic view? I looked at a property today, upstate New York. It's 3 hours and 10 minutes out of the city, but it's 400 acres. It's got spectacular views and water. And I might get it just for a homesteader project. Put a couple up there and build some greenhouses and see what is able to be actually grown and whether it's cost-effective to get it to markets. And if not, then try something else. This is not a part of the big sustainable homestead project. This is a mini project. But also, I'm fully aware that in New York State, taxes are going up. And a lot of things you're not going to be able to do because they're going to have more ordinances, more rules. And if you're a small business person, New York City is the last place to be in the future. But it's been a great place in the past. New York is a great city. But it depends upon your level of income. It depends upon your needs. So when I get more information, I can give you better insights. Let's say hello to Cheryl from West Nyack. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Gary. Good evening. My question to you tonight is about peanut allergies.
Yeah.
And is there ever any way to become desensitized again?
Yes, you can take homeopathic complexes which can resensitize you to the peanut, and then you have to see whether or not you're allergic to peanuts per se, or whether it is the fungus or molds that many peanuts have attached to them. And I've seen people who were not allergic to organic peanuts, but were allergic to non-organic. So you have to have a trained kinesiologist do studies with you, and so that the body can say yes or no to any given substance. That way you can be tested. Also, I found that by detoxifying a person over a period of a month on heavy juicing and other nutrients, that the immune system strengthens, and as the immune system strengthens, many things that a person previously was allergic to, they're no longer allergic.
Okay, thank you so much.
What's that?
Thank you very much.
All the best to you.
Okay, thank you.
I see we're running out of time. I didn't get to another person I see from New Jersey. I'll be happy to get to that on next week's show. I have a full week of 15 hours of outstanding guests this week, so you won't want to miss tomorrow's noon show. And I'll be putting up a lot of original in-depth investigative reporting articles, as well as new video. We have a lot of new video going up this week, so please go to GaryNull.com. You can go tonight and look at the articles, watch the videos, because there'll be brand new ones going up tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone. Look forward to now Richard Martin. I think Richard Martin. Is Richard on right after me right now? Yeah, Richard Martin coming at you right now on the Progressive Radio Network.